Hello and welcome to our micronutrients module on cobalt. This one is going to be a relatively short one compared to a lot of our other micronutrients, which are really in depth. And we're just going to go through and explain what cobalt is, where it's found, how it functions, and what it needs to do in the body and how you can add more to the body. So let's just go ahead and jump right in and begin. Before we begin, I always like to let you know that this information is not intended to replace a medical doctor's one-on-one care. And when you're working with people, you can let them know that this is education and it's not medical advice. And someone posed a question which I thought was worthwhile to answer here, is that you can always make recommendations and suggestions about how people can support themselves when they have specific imbalances. So you can make recommendations and follow up on those recommendations to support somebody in helping them correct an imbalance. What you cannot do is diagnose a condition and then offer treatment advice. So I just want to make sure that that's really clear. Doesn't mean we can't give people suggestions. That's called education. Hey, you might have this signs and symptoms of low selenium in your body. And here's some of the things that could cause in your body with relationship to your thyroid, et cetera. And here's how you can correct it, or here's things I've used to correct it. And then you can follow up, hey, did you take some of those Brazil nuts? Did that help? Right? So you can do all that. It's not, this disclaimer is not intended to tie your hands behind your back. What it's intended to do is make sure that you're using the proper terminology when you're speaking with people. You're not offering medical advice. You're not telling them that they should do your protocol instead of their medical doctor's protocol. What you're doing is educating them on how they can restore balance to their body using specific nutrients, foods, herbs, diet, and lifestyle things. So I just want to make sure that that's really, really clear. We have lots of ability to help people. So let's talk about cobalt. Cobalt is a trace mineral. Some people question whether it's really an essential nutrient or not, because most of its function is tied in with its role in making up B12. The name cobalt comes from the German word kobold, which means goblin. Kind of cool. Cobalt is a rare metallic element that's a critical component of the molecular structure of vitamin B12. That's its main function in the body. Yeah, it has a few other little functions, but this is its main one. It's part of cyanocobalamin, methylcobalamin, hydroxycobalamin, and adenosylcobalamin. That's what cobalt is. How does it work? Well, it's, like I said, its main function is part of vitamin B12. It helps absorb and process vitamin B12. It also aids in the repair of myelin. It's involved in the formation of hemoglobin. And the body may also use cobalt in place of zinc in certain functions when it's making hemoglobin. And it can help regulate and stimulate the production of thyroxine, which is T4. The thyroid hormone. So it's got a few functions. It doesn't have pages and pages of functions like vitamin B12. We're not going to review all the functions of B12, but anything that goes for a function of B12 would go for a function of cobalt because it's part of the B12. So let's talk about cobalt and enzyme regulation. There's an enzyme called methionine aminopeptidase 2. It's an angiogenesis inhibitor, meaning it inhibits the formation of new blood vessels. It's also known as METAP2. It's blocking some of the signals that growing tumors send to nearby tissues to cause the formation of their own blood supplies through the process of angiogenesis. So basically, the way that cancer cells take root and grow and spread is that they signal nearby tissue to grow their own blood supply. And that's angiogenesis, the creation of new blood vessels. It can also inhibit metastatic cancer because it can block those signals. So if the way that the cancer would spread is by the signals that go out to the tissues to cause angiogenesis, if this MET-AP2 enzyme inhibits that, it can inhibit the growth of metastatic cancer. There's still more research to be done here. It's not a huge body of research, but a lot of times what we do is we make assumptions about how something would work or how it would inhibit things based on what? The chemistry, the physiology. And that's what we're doing here. Okay, so cobalt is, it's the only enzyme that is, has been associated with methionine aminopeptidase 2, and it inhibits angiogenesis, blocking the signals that the growing tumors send to nearby tissues to cause them to grow their own blood supplies. They can't grow their own blood supplies, thus it blocks the spread. So the question becomes, do we need a separate source of cobalt in our diets? Do you need to be telling people, oh, this is good food that contains cobalt, or is it enough to just tell them to get foods that are high in vitamin B12? Scientists believe that the body can get the cobalt it needs to make METAP2 by breaking down vitamin B12. So we don't need extra. Now, assuming a person's not deficient in vitamin B12, they have enough and a little bit more, they can break down the vitamin B12, body's capable of doing that, pull out the cobalt and use it as a cofactor in making this enzyme. So you don't really need to have a separate source of cobalt. And there are a few foods that contain a little bit of cobalt, but we don't really need to be coaching people to seek those foods out. Excess cobalt can cause serious complications on the central nervous system. So if we're having people go out and try to find sources of cobalt, they may go into excess. But it's really unlikely because it's really the inorganic form, the metal form, the rock form of cobalt that causes the problem. So there's no scientific evidence that having someone take a separate source of cobalt, like a mineral that has cobalt in it, or a separate mineral, cobalt, it's just as long as they're taking vitamin B12. So let's look at cobalt deficiency. Well, cobalt is a part of vitamin B12. So all of the vitamin B12 signs and symptoms of deficiency apply to a cobalt deficiency. And that could be pernicious anemia. It could be enlargement of the blood cells, and that leads to a megaloblastic anemia. It can be impairment of DNA repair. So all of the things that the B12 deficiency results in, that would be what cobalt deficiency would result in. And there's just no RDA. No RDA has been established or set because we get enough just by getting enough vitamin B12. So some of the food sources, like, well, all of the B12 containing foods, obviously, meats and organ meats and clams and oysters, milk and ocean fish, those all contain B12 and thereby they contain cobalt. There are some foods that contain cobalt even in the absence of vitamin B12, and those would be our good old friends, the sea vegetables. If you haven't figured out by now that it's a good idea to coach your patients and your clients to eat more sea vegetables, then here's yet another reason. Legumes, my preference are the legumes that do not raise their blood sugars. And sometimes people find that the bigger beans and the white beans tend to raise their blood sugars, whereas things like lentils and mung beans and adjuki beans don't. So it's a matter of working with all the parameters in that person's life. Spinach is a good source of cobalt. Cabbage, lettuce, beet greens, and figs. So all of these are sources of independent sources of cobalt. So in a sense, you might think of these foods that just says even one more reason to eat these foods from an anti-cancer perspective because they're providing cobalt that the body would need to make that methionine aminopeptidase enzyme that helps to stop the angiogenesis of the tumors. And that's all I have for you on cobalt. There's not a lot to be had. There's not a lot of research on it. There's not a lot of double-blind placebo-controlled studies. It's not in our textbook, and it's just a matter of, you know, really not being so concerned about it. You're not going to see clients with cobalt deficiency unless they have a vitamin B12 deficiency. So thanks for your participation, and we'll talk to you on the next nutrient.